As you know, we've been journeying through 42 days of prayer, and I'm pretty happy that I'm done writing now. That was a lot, but I'm excited to journey through the last week together, and just want to really encourage you. You know, I know things are going on in life, and we have fatigue, and we have frustrations, and we have things that are bidding for our attention, and I'm not blaming all of that on Satan, but some of that is Satan. He knows that our church is seeking something better. He knows that we are wanting to turn the corner and really pursue what it is that God intended for Bangor Liberty Friends to become. And so I just encourage you, you know, stick with it. You know, I'm not saying you have to read the devotions every day. You know, it's not that big of a deal. The most important thing is that we're seeking God. That when we come together next week, with a common vision and a common goal to share the things that God has revealed to us, that we come prayed up and ready. With open minds and open hearts to hear clearly what everyone's heard from God. So today I want you to imagine with me a little bit. What if the community was genuinely thankful for our church? What if community leaders valued our church's friendship? What if neighborhoods talked about how good it is to have our church in the area because of the practical witness of God's love we've offered? What if a large percentage of our own church members were actively engaged and passionate about serving our communities, using our gifts and abilities in ways and at levels that they never thought possible? What if we saw the communities we serve actually changing because of the impact of our church's involvement? What if people changed their view of the church in general based on the positive contributions that we make? And as a result of all of these things, what if we saw a natural spiritual harvest of people coming to Jesus and into the life of the church? I'm not saying that some of these things aren't already happening, but I'm saying there's more. There's a lot more. I don't remember the first time I said it, but I had a vision of us having a fingerprint on the communities that we serve. And this week, as I wrote and as I prayed and as I studied and as I thought of each of you and I thought of our church, I had a question pop into my head. And I asked our Sunday school class this question this morning, and we all kind of got pretty sober and quiet. And I imagine that's probably going to be the same result now. It's a hard question, but it's one that needs to be asked. If our church ceased to exist today, would it matter to anyone outside of our attenders and members? I don't know. I don't know what impact we're having on our community. I don't know what impact we're having outside of the walls of this church and the programs that we have in place. Which is part of why we're seeking a vision, which is part of why we're spending this time in prayer. We want to know what more we can do for God and His kingdom, because there's a lot more. This church is full of gifted and talented people. And I think we're selling ourselves short a little bit by not tapping into that talent, by not spreading those abilities and resources to the communities that we live in. I told our Sunday school class this morning that we have a unique opportunity that's both beneficial and detrimental. The fact that we're located centrally to a lot of small communities. We have the opportunity to impact a lot of small communities, but at the same time, it seems overwhelming at times. Where do we go? What do we do? Which is part of the visioning. Today's sermon is called Bridge Building 101, and it comes from a book that I've been reading called The Church of Irresistible Influence. And the pastor that wrote this book asked these same hard questions about the church he was serving. He asked, if our church ceased to exist today, would it matter to our community? And it was a big church, so it would matter to the things that they were doing outside of their community. You know, they had books coming out of the pastors on the staff there, and video series and things like that that were spreading, you know, to the east and to the west coast. But when they got down to it, they weren't really impacting their community. The area that their church was located, their Judea. Now I want to give you a little bit of reality. Today's church is losing its grip on the very world it has been called to serve. Relevance has been the strategy of the modern church, often at the expense of substance. Many worshipers seek an experience with God minus the commitment. In a recent poll, George Barna notes that in the aspects of lifestyle where Christians can have their greatest impact on the lives of non-Christians, there is no visible differences between the two segments. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the two segments. We have the church, those of us that have put our hope in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We understand that is the way to live. Eternal life is the result. Abundant life is the result. We want that. We believe it. We pursue it. And the rest of the world that thinks that we are full of baloney, that has been disillusioned, that is angry at how the church has decided to operate, and that when they look across that gap between the two segments, they don't see a lot of difference. They see many of the church attenders doing the same things that they're doing, having the same problems that they're having, going through the same issues that they go through. The only difference is they spend an hour a week in church on Sunday mornings. How will the world ever discover the church again if what they see across the gap is no different than themselves? Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, among many other books, has a quote that kind of speaks to this condition. It says that our gospel is canceled by the way we live. Our gospel is canceled by the way we live. We talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school about the postmodern culture that we live in. No longer is it good enough to tell people. We have to show them. We have to show them what is different about the life that we've chosen to live. Why we have hope when we have conflict, when we have crisis, when we have burdens. Why we look to things beyond this earth. Are we physically living that out? Are people seeing that in us and through us? One pastor once said of his church, if the 1950s ever came around again, my church would be ready. Older methodologies and those things that have become traditions in our churches were once the new ideas of their age. I don't know if we understand that. We're so caught up in doing the things that we've always done. And I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about church, capital C. We're afraid of new ideas, but back the things that we're doing now were once new ideas. Did you know Sunday school isn't in the Bible? That was a new idea that somebody thought of. Wednesday night programs weren't in the Bible. That's a new idea that somebody thought of. Me standing up here in front of you preaching is not in the Bible. It was a new idea. The people used to be preachers. They used to speak from the experience that they had with God on a daily basis. A pastor friend of mine, we just talked this week and we talked about traditions. And he said, you know, I don't know if it's tradition or if it's nostalgia. People just want to do the things that they remember doing when they were kids. He says, if we want to talk about tradition, we need to go all the way back to the beginning. If you want to talk about Friends tradition, let's go back to the beginning of Friends. How did that start? It started with George Fox not listening to anybody but the Holy Spirit. You want to go back even farther to the beginning of the church? It started with Jesus saying, you know what? When I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and you're going to have power. And with that power, I want you to change the world by preaching the gospel, by loving, by living the example that I taught you to live. Are programs bad? Is Sunday school bad? Is Wednesday night program bad? Absolutely not. I'm just saying that somebody along the way decided to think outside the box and take these messages and this commission that Jesus gave us and put it in terms that spoke to their time and their place at that moment in time. So in the context of visioning, in the context of seeking what it is, what it looks like for our church to bridge that gap between us and the rest of the world, let's think outside the box. What can we do with what we have here to make a difference? What can we do with what we have here to show the areas that we serve, to show Union, Conrad, Albion, Clemens, St. Anthony, or keep going. There's too many for me to count. We have a lot of opportunity here. This is our mission field. And if we haven't impacted them by now with what we're doing, why would we keep doing the same thing? Let's think outside the box. Jesus had a plan for the church to reach across the gap, to build a bridge. And so that's where I want to go to the scriptures now, 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. I'm going to stop right there. No longer regard anyone with a worldly point of view. What does that mean? It means that we need to see everyone as a creation of God. That their life on this earth, just like ours, doesn't end when they stop breathing. That there is an eternity that will take place after that. And if they don't know the message of Jesus Christ and the way that eternity can be in heaven, it's the church's responsibility to teach them that by word and by deed. Okay, let's keep going. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. To reconcile is to bridge a gap. God created man. Man sinned against God. A gap was formed. The way God intended for us to live, the way man chose to live. There's a gap. Reconciliation is the bridge. So when you read this, every time it says reconciliation or reconcile, you can insert the word bridge. That is what the church is called to do. We're called to bridge the gap between what man has chosen to do and the kind of life God wants for us to live. That's the church's responsibility. That's our mission. To proclaim Jesus as Lord in whatever way we can. To bridge that gap. So the author of this book that I'm reading, Robert Lewis, he writes, if the church functions with any other design other than that of a bridge, it dooms itself. Our hard work over time will sink into the cold waters of irrelevancy, frustration, and despair. He goes on to say that the problem with not being a bridge-building church is that many Christians will lose any motivation for real radical change. With the gap into our communities and those who need the hope and love of Christ uncrossed, the focus inevitably shifts from the transformed and compelling life, which leads to being the salt and light of those communities, to a much more superficial desire to look Christian to other Christians. In short, God gave us a mission. God gave the church a mission to bridge the gap. When we choose not to do that, what happens is we become inward focused. When we stop looking outside the walls of our church and seeing what the needs are in the community, where people are hurting, where people need to see the hope and love of Jesus Christ, when we stop trying to bridge that gap, we're not doing what God intended for us to do as a church, and pretty soon that focus all becomes inward. And Lewis goes on to say that being inward focused isn't necessarily a bad thing. We need a little bit of both. But pretty soon, if all we are is inward focus, then our needs become our wants. And pretty soon it's about being comfortable. Pretty soon it's about what's best for us inside the church, which is never how God intended for it to be. He talks about churches that he's been to and visited and presented this material to, and he said a lot of times I hear churches that have been fooled into thinking that they have bridges. But at best, their ministries to the communities are sporadic. And he said, if I were to compare what they're doing to a bridge, I would say that it looks like a couple of loose wires and a rickety board spanned across the chasm. We can't allow ourselves to be fooled. We have to be intentional. Just like we've been intentional about seeking God for these last 5 weeks and how we're going to be intentional this next week and how we're going to continue to be intentional from days 43 and beyond. We have to be, as a church, we have to be intentional. You know, I often pray that we look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. And I think as a church, our prayer can be that we impact our community more today than we did yesterday. Never settling. Never saying that we've done all we can do because we haven't. So this week, as we pray, preparing ourselves for the visioning service, I want to give you a little bit of a word picture, I guess. I want you to dream a dangerous dream. I want you to dream a dream of what our church would look like if we were a bridge-building church. What things need to stay the same? Because I think we're doing some good things. What needs to continue to happen that we're already doing? And then what needs to change? What things are we doing that maybe we need to stop? What things aren't we doing that maybe we need to start? We have a clear mission. And as I told my Sunday school class this morning, I love our mission statement. I think it's great. But until we have a vision on how to get there, it's just some words printed in our bulletin. We have to be intentional to impact our community more today than we did yesterday. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of individuals, and we talked about this morning too. There's individuals in our church that have very strong ministries to their communities. But I'm talking from a leadership standpoint, from my standpoint, from ministry and council standpoint, from Christian Ed standpoint. What are we doing as leaders in this church to help release people into ministry? Are we preparing them to serve the community? Isaac's making popcorn. So the solution is easy, and yet it's challenging. I read a story about the guy who first built a bridge from the U.S. to Canada, the Niagara Bridge. Have you ever heard that story about how he built that bridge? He paid a little boy $5 to fly a kite across that bridge. And the string landed on the other side. And then they tied a little bit thicker string and pulled it across. And a little bit thicker and pulled it back. And pretty soon it was a cable. And the cables got thicker and thicker and thicker until it was thick enough they could pull a smaller bridge across. It was a process. We're not going to come here next Sunday and get a vision and feel good about a vision and by next Sunday have changed. The 42 days of prayer was us flying a kite to the other side. Next Sunday we'll be pulling that string, and that might take us a while. And pretty soon we're going to pull another string. What I'm saying is don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Continue to press on. Continue to push. Continue to seek God's will for your life, for your family, and for our church. It's not a one-and-done thing. It's not 42 days. It's the rest of your life. When the search committee decided to offer me this position, I had no idea what Bangor Liberty Friends Church was. But today I love this church, and I love you guys. That's where the challenge comes from. It's not because I'm upset. It's not because I don't think we're good enough. It's because I know we can be better. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be challenging us. If I didn't care, I'd say, let's keep doing what we're doing. It's because I care. It's because I love this church. It's because that I feel I'm exactly where God wants me to be, that I have to do exactly what God's calling me to do. And that's to challenge us to be the church that I know we can be. So maybe with me. Maybe you disagree with everything I just said. Maybe you think that my words are harsh. I pray that you can get over that. We can move forward. Because I know God has great things in store for Bangor Liberty Friends Church. And it's not going to come from me. It's going to come from you. That's why I'm not up here spouting out a vision that I feel us called to, because I want to know what you think. You're just as capable of hearing from God as I am. So I don't know if you did week one and you gave up, or if you got to week three and you gave up, or if you got to week five and you thought, ah, that's good enough, I won't do week six. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you never even started. I'm okay with that. But this week, let's commit to praying for our church. What does God want us to do? What does God want our church to be known for? What impact does he want us to have on the communities that we live in and that we serve? How can we make our communities better today than they were yesterday? 7 days, that's what I'm asking for. 7 days of intentional seeking from God. So that when we come together next Sunday, it's not a bunch of people's personal opinions on what they think is best for our church, but it is clearly from God. And I don't want to be rude and say, if you didn't pray, don't come. But maybe just don't talk. Because I really just want us to hear from the Holy Spirit. The church in America, and maybe Bangor Liberty Friends Church, is in a crisis. But what I like about the word crisis is that when you look at the word crisis in the Chinese writing of it, it's two symbols. One is danger, one is opportunity. We're on the horizon of a dangerous opportunity. The danger is that we don't hear from the Holy Spirit and that we keep doing what we were doing. And maybe we stay open for another 50 or 100 years doing just fine. Or maybe we don't. The opportunity is, think outside the box. To think how we can impact our communities in ways that we never even thought of. And not to see the sanctuary filled full of people, that's not the goal. But to see the communities that we serve say, you know what, I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior now. And Bangor Liberty Friends had a hand in that. The people from that church loved me, cared for me, served our community. And as a result of that, I looked into this God thing. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know how you feel. I imagine there's mixed feelings across the room. Some of you have been coming to this church your entire life, and maybe this is the hardest thing anyone's ever said to you. I love this church just as much as you do. And the challenge that's being placed in my heart, I'm passing on to you, because we're a team. We're a family. I know God can do some awesome things if we just let him. So let's let him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for challenging us. Lord, we thank you for trusting us with kingdom work. Lord, I'm not sure what different pieces of vision and purpose that you're going to lay on people's hearts this week, but Lord, I pray when it comes together and we finally fit all the pieces of the puzzle together that it's a beautiful picture of what you want our church to be. And Lord, I pray boldness for each person here, Lord, that they can come, and if they don't have it all figured out, that's okay. None of us do. But just to share that piece that they feel called to, that piece that they're passionate about. And Lord, we'll fit that together with all the other pieces. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we're going to see what our next step is. Lord, help us look more like you today than we did yesterday, and help us have a bigger impact on our community today than we did yesterday. To be intentional. To strive to live the gospel message in our words, our actions, our relationships, and everything we do. Help us think outside the box, to go all the way back to the beginning, when all we had was the Holy Spirit and you, and see what we can come up with. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.